What do you want me to read again? Okay, let me get my glasses. The views, opinions, and comments expressed on this podcast by its hosts do not reflect the views or opinions of their employers, past, present, or future. The topics covered in this podcast, as well as the language used, may not be suitable for all ages. Cover the young ones' ears. Please keep an open mind, and remember, it's just three geeks talking.
Hello world, this is our third episode. Welcome, and if you've followed us, thank you. Thank you very much for following us. I'm here with...
So was that the person following me today? I already have a stalker? Hell yeah.
Sounds good. Because of the release of Pokemon Sword and Shield, we're going to dedicate this episode to Pokemon. We're going to go... back in time, we're going to go through all the main games. The other ones don't count. And please don't argue with me. The other ones don't count.
And yeah, we can talk about them all because unlike some fans, we are actually older than Ash.
And we're not losers. I mean, he's officially a winner now for the first time. But yes, we're not losers.
Yeah, that's assuming we don't count the Orange Islands.
That doesn't count. That was filler. So, Pokemon as a video game was introduced somewhere around 1996 in Japan, with the concept very similar to Tamagotchi, that you had to take care of a monster. In this case, they wouldn't die if you left them alone, but that the same concept was made by Game Freak and came out in the wonderful green background screen of the Game Boy.
Dude, I love the old Game Boy. That thing, that brick, because it could only be called a brick. That thing could take any hit, fall from any distance. I think I dropped mine in water once and just dried it off and kept playing.
In New York, in the Nintendo store, they had one that survived a grenade.
And oh yeah, I've seen that one. They featured it in Nintendo Power once.
Yeah, I saw it live over there.
So you younger folk that started with something maybe ahead of the Game Boy Advance, you had no idea how hard it was to play in the dark.
Yeah, that's assuming you could get one of the overpriced accessories that actually work, because there were plenty of cheap ones, plenty of cheap Game Boy lights that took just as many batteries as the Game Boy, just so you could kinda play in the dark.
Yeah, it had all of these like magnifier glasses with like embedded lights. It was amazing. You brought back so many memories there, man.
I had the Handy Boy, if you remember that.
Oh God, I love that thing. I kid you not. If you ever wondered how did they come up with this, I just imagine the creator suddenly looking to his TV and seeing like the Power Rangers and the Megazord just fusing together. He's like, hey, I could do that too.
Kind of remind you of RoboCop, but yeah. So the first game was Pocket Monsters, as they were called in Japan, Red and Green. Green somehow didn't make it to the US until very much later. And for the US, they came out with Pokemon Blue. This started a whole new trend that has continued throughout its entire lifetime, where they came out with different versions to either A, force unsuspecting parents to have to buy two games, or B, had to make social people that maybe didn't like being social.
That's probably the most evil thing Game Freak could ever come up with. We're going to make these kids talk to each other while playing video games.
And again, for younger folk, the whole concept of trading Pokemon and battling Pokemon was alive and well, except for the fact that there was no internet or Bluetooth or any sort of wireless technology.
So it's a wire. It was amazing. I remember those days.
You had to use the Game Boy Link cable, and whomever owned that was a legend amongst your peers. And whomever owned the one that had four connectors, you were godlike.
Yeah, that was really...
Like, it's like, legit, we're showing our age. At this point, we may as well just strap an onion to our belts and go like, I remember in my day, we had only 151 Pokemon, and we liked it!
Hell, it was rare to actually see a Mew back in the day, too. Like, those were really rare.
Oh, dude, I still loved the whole, you can catch Mew if you push the
truck.
If you get to this truck, and
yes,
it, and you'll be under it. That was one of the biggest urban legends back in the day.
Yep. They actually paid homage to it in the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. Like, you could find the truck in the next to the cruise ship once it left.
Nice.
Yep.
There was also the people that had nothing to do in their lives and found all the buffer overflows that were in the game. Enough to, compile about 50-step guide on how you can do a buffer overflow and get Mew.
Then you also had the ones that, for some reason, found missing number.
Oh, yes.
I still don't know what strange random turn of events led to somebody actually discovering missing number.
It wasn't too hard. You had to swim in a particular vertical part of a coastline of one of the islands in the southwest side of the world, I guess. So it wasn't too hard to realize there was a buffer overflow happening there, which led to that jargon Pokemon. Very glitchy Pokemon, and I made the mistake of actually catching it.
Yeah, it could disrupt your whole file. You could lose your 150 hours.
Yeah. So, starting with the designs, do you guys remember who was your first starter? You only had Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle as your starter.
Charmander, 100%.
Yep. Charmander, I'm like, little red dragon? Yep, I'm gonna go with that. And then I came up to Brock, and Brock showed me the intricacies of Pokemon weaknesses.
Yep.
Yeah, the game did not pull any punches. The first gym leader that you get is a rock ground type user, and you're basically weak to it, and none of the Pokemon you could have caught before that gym would have had much of an effect on his Pokemon.
Like, couldn't you catch an Oddish, I think?
That was the first thing.
I think that was like a rare catch in the Viridian Forest.
Come on, you had all your Caterpies to, you know, back up your Charmander. Yeah. That's perfect.
Of course, you know, nothing says I'm going to beat a rock like a little grub that gets squashed by the bug.
Yeah, and then after that little rock, after you wasted four Pokemon to defeat that little rock, then you get the big rock.
Yeah, everybody always likes to complain about, what was the name of that trainer? Was it Winnie? The one that had the Militank that just used Rollout over and over.
Yeah, that's annoying,
yep. Over and over again. That was, I think that was either Gold, Silver, or the third, but yes, they kept using it. Yeah.
Like, everybody's complaining about that. You have no idea what it was like to get to that gym and have your hopes crushed, literally crushed, by a giant rock snake.
It was literally like hard mode. Like, the first boss was like a rock, and then the second one was water. So
yeah,
you had like no win here. Like,
well, if you chose Charmander, you had no win.
Yeah.
Bulbasaur is like, oh, easy mode.
Yep.
And then you got to the third gym.
Yes. And that's when you realized, oh, maybe I should have leveled everybody else.
Which was electric. You had nothing there. Nothing. The best thing you can do was, if you picked Bulbasaur, at least they were not effective.
Yep.
And then the myth, the legend, Lavender Town. The infamous song that people claimed that made people want to commit suicide.
It spawned so many creepypastas.
Yep.
I have to admit, for a game that was basically assembly language music, that music, particularly that song in that town, was a masterpiece.
Yep.
That song was creepy as hell. Like, recently, Pokemon Go had the Halloween event, and I didn't know, because I hardly play anymore, but it's night, I decided to turn it on, and then suddenly the Lavender Town song blares out of my phone, and I'm like, well, it's haunted.
I play without music, so that would have scared the poop out of me.
I didn't realize that. That would have been a nice touch if I would have noticed. Like, play without music as well. That's interesting.
No, yes, usually me too, but legit, that one time where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna see and start hearing that ominous sound. I'm like, oh, my phone's haunted. Perfect. Time to call in an exorcist.
So after that, we go to Cerulean. We battle the grass gym, which isn't too bad. We then either can go south to Koga, which was the poison type, or we could have gone to, I think it was Cerulean, was it called? Or Saffron, sorry. Saffron and battle Saburina and her Kadabra. Yeah.
Which, for, you know, again, some of our younger audience, you may not know that the original Pokemon, Psychic, was pretty much unbeatable.
Yep.
There was nearly no weakness to Psychic. I mean, no, Psychic was nearly not weak to anything.
And there was a bug in the game where they forgot to make a ghost strong against Psychic.
Yep.
There was also a bug that they forgot to make fire strong against ice. So, making the game even harder. After that, you now start getting used to what we call HMs, which basically means waste an entire slot of your Pokemon's moves to be able to travel around the world. That started the whole concept of what we call HM...
And then, slave.
Yeah, HM slave was the term.
Yeah.
You had to have one Pokemon, usually a normal type, that would have most of the HMs that you would use to get around, which was a pain because a lot of the HM moves were not really that good, except for Surf, probably.
And Fly. Fly was decent.
Yeah, again, Fly wasn't bad.
Yeah, Fly was good. You didn't mind giving Fly to a Pokemon and Surf to a Water. So that usually those two don't count, but Strength, Cut... Yeah, no good. Flash was useless.
Yeah, Flash was really useless. Like, oh, you can lower the accuracy. Yeah, there's a bunch of attacks. My Pokemon learned one at level 4. It's called Sand Attack.
Yep. And then we are met with the infamous Safari Zone. Which, hey, there's a lot of Pokemon for you to catch, but it's illegal to battle them. So you have to either throw rocks at them or food. And who spent many hours trying to get a Chansey and your first Dratini?
See, that's the funniest part. It's like, it's illegal to battle. Here's some rocks.
Yep.
Throw the rocks at our rare endangered Pokemon so you can catch them.
And I'm not even mentioning this introduced the Team Rocket. By then, you have battled Giovanni maybe twice. And the Team Rocket concept has lived throughout. Like, even when the other games brought other teams, Team Rocket sometimes makes a comeback.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Let's just cuddle pretenses. That's because of the animated Team Rocket.
Yep.
If it wasn't for Jesse, James, and Meowth, no one would give a horsey's patoot about it.
And the original Red and Blue didn't have Jesse and James, right?
No, they did not.
Yellow. Yep. They put that in yellow, yep.
Yep. But hey, prepare for trouble and make it double.
I swear, though. And it's kind of sad that if you really think about it, those two are some of the best Pokemon trainers ever. And they still suck.
Yeah. But the anime, they really made the anime, honestly. Ash sucks. And now we go from the Seafoam Islands, where you find a random visible Pokemon in a cave that has never been seen before up until that point. What is this bird-looking Pokemon? Oh, crap.
What is this? Level 50. What? Okay, it's probably not that bad. Blizzard. Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
And to people like me, completely unsuspecting, uneducated trainers, I defeated the Pokemon and forgot that, you know, that was just a first one-time spawn.
Oh, that
hurts.
Yeah.
So, live and learn. I always tell my boys now, if you see a Pokemon, obviously it doesn't count anymore, but in the previous games, if you see a Pokemon outside, save.
You better capture it. Yeah.
Save.
Well, you gotta remember, maybe, like, I really think that's one of the games that made us into, like, OCD when it comes to saving in video games.
Yeah.
Did I save? Let me save again. Did I save? Well, I better save once more just in case.
I got the question from my son. He was like, why are you saving 5 times?
Because reasons.
I don't trust the first 4.
Yep. You didn't live through my, like, years, son.
Well, he actually bought with his money. Which one would he buy? I think it was Yellow. So he kind of got it now into that OCD habit. Save. Save, save. Yes, you're learning. From here, we now go to Cinnabar Island, where we fight in a volcano in a gym of fire. And then we go back and we find ourselves back where the freaking game started. And
it's like, hey, yeah, you know that Pokemon League place you want to get to? It was literally on the left. Near the second town or third town, something like that.
Second town. Viridian.
Oh, yeah.
But you basically knew that from the beginning. Come on, you always try to go there when the game started.
And then your rival comes out. You have to fight him again.
Well, here's the thing, though. You go to the 8th gym. You make it to the gym leader to find out he is, spoiler, Giovanni.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yes, I am the leader of a well-known criminal syndicate, but I'm also a gym leader, you know, on the side. And the Pokemon League, which I try to subvert through my criminal enterprises, still somehow has not closed me down. Yay, video game logic.
And then by this time, you are struggling to get Dragonair to level 55 to convert it to a Dragonite, only to learn there's only one dragon type move in the whole freaking game, and it only does 40 damage.
Dragon Rage.
Oh, yeah.
And then
it had Hyper Beam. To be fair, it had Hyper Beam, which is awesome.
Hyper Beam wasn't too good when you actually play against people, but anyway. And we're taking a lot more time with Red Blue because it was the thing that introduced the games. We'll go through the others a bit faster. Then you go through Victory Road, which was a pain in the butt, to find another bird. This time with Fire Blast, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, Fire Blast. It's like, oh, you're dead.
And then you get to the Pokemon League. And to this date, I have not finished Sword and Shield, but to this date, that is still the toughest Elite Four I've faced. Mostly.
Well, yeah, you have Agatha. Like, Agatha is ghost type, and there's not really a type that's strong against ghost type in the original game. So it's like, oh, here's Gengar with ridiculous speed and special attack and not really weak against anything.
And then it comes Lance. Same thing.
Yeah, and then it's like, hey, here's the dragon trainer, by the way. I guess that was a warm-up.
And then you think you're done. And they tell you, hey, somebody beat you to it. And you have to fight him. And it ends up being Blue. Your rival.
But hey, did you pack healing items? Did you? No? you don't get a break.
And if you're lucky and were prepared, you defeat Blue, you become the champion. And then they tell you that the cave that you've always saw somebody in front of the cave telling you you can't come here until you're a champion lets you in. And you get inside that cave and you meet your first super boss concept of Pokemon, the legendary Mewtwo. And you had nothing to beat it with type advantages. And on top of that, it knew Recover.
Yep, and again, a psychic type, so even better.
And that is the golden days of our first game. After that game, they released Pokemon Yellow to kind of cater to the people that were, I guess, more to the anime. It came out in 1988 in Japan, 1999 in the United States, and Australia in 2000 in Europe. It was basically the same game as Red, Blue, Green, except that you were forced to start with a yellow rat.
Which, again, against Brock, unlike the anime, where basically Ash cheats, you weren't that lucky.
The you can tell that the new animators of Pokemon took a shot at the previous animators because they redid that scene, or they talked about it, and Rotom Dex immediately appeared and said, "Does not compute." So that's one company taking a shot at the other company.
Well, yeah, it said does not compute because it's a kids anime show. It should have said something else.
Sorry.
You really need to get that cold looked at.
Yeah. So in comes at 1999, 2000, 1 year after the special Pikachu edition called Pokemon Gold and Silver. I personally had Silver. I know most people bought Gold.
I think I had Gold.
Yeah. It introduced the fact that there were more regions, and that the region that you played on was called Kanto, meaning East, and now you're starting in Johto, which means West, alluding to two particular regions in Japan. You start I think his name was Gold, if you go by the manga, and your rival is Silver. And this game introduces 100 new Pokemon, give or take. Three new starters in, what were they called? Totodile, Chikorita, and what was the other one?
Cyndaquil?
Yeah, Cyndaquil.
See, I love the anime because Totodile was just adorable.
Same concept, you have a fire, leaf, and water types, and they introduced two new types in Gold and Silver. They introduced dark types because they realized they effed up really bad with the psychic types. And for the same reasons, they also introduced the steel type. With this game, 100 new Pokemon, including a single mythical Pokemon in Celebi, they not only introduced new Pokemons, they introduced, I believe, baby Pokemons, and they also introduced evolutions to Pokemon that previously did not evolve.
Yep, and this is where basically the craze started to really set in, because gamers were like, oh, well, damn, it's a whole new strategy, it's a whole new system. And now it's a whole new story, whole new trainers, everything. So it just kept bringing people back because it was gameplay that they were used to and familiar with, but enough new elements to make them go, huh, this is interesting. And surprises for, you know, long-standing fans.
They also introduced breeding, right, in Gold and Silver?
Oh, yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. This is,
in other words, take a bicycle, put the egg, and just press back and forth on whatever the longest straightforward map is.
And poor Ditto.
Yep. Poor Ditto. That's all I'm going to say.
Poor Ditto.
Yep.
So this game introduces eight new gyms, but somehow the same Pokemon League. I think this might have been done to work the big mess they introduced in the anime where Gary had like 10 gym badges.
I still think he was just BSing. I'm fairly sure he winked at some like female trainer and she just gave him a badge that she just had. Because again, if you guys don't know, originally Gary Oak was a PIMP.
A Pokemon impersonator master person. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Yes. The new gym, the first gym was actually a flying type in Faulkner. The second gym was a bug type. Very interesting putting a gym where the types basically are weak against being breathed on and stepped on.
See, I always found that funny because I'll be completely honest, in the first games, in Red and Blue, I actually had a Pidgey. Like I evolved that to a Pidgeot, and I took that with me to the Elite Four, and I won with it.
Yep. Yeah. Me too.
So for like Gold and Silver, I did the same thing. So I'm like, oh, okay, you know, let's see what happens. And then when I got to that gym, it's like perfection. You will thrive. You will have a full belly tonight.
So in the meantime, while you were walking around, you noticed that this is the first game that had an internal clock and it had nighttime. And now you actually had to wait until nighttime to catch Pokemon. Yep. Especially like Hoot Hoot.
Well.
Yeah. This game also extended the evolutions by introducing Umbreon, and Espeon. Some say one of the better designs for the Eevee evolutions. Psychic, well, actually, let me say them in the, respectively. Dark and Psychic, very, very good Pokemon, if you're fans of those types. And
yep, Umbreon saw me through many a tough battle.
And then the third game, the third gym was...
Can I make a pause? Like, I want to just... bring to the attention that back in the day, internet was not really a thing. So you really had to get guides and talk to people
who
had done stuff. Like, figuring a lot of this stuff out back in the day was not trivial. It's not like Googling. Like, that Google didn't exist. So you had to go and get guides, like actual paper books, you know, with the information, or talk to somebody who got a guide. It was like a more like social and more interesting times. It promoted like actually having friends to talk to, because otherwise you wouldn't get anything done.
Because the conversation would go like this. Oh, you got an Espeon. How did you get an Espeon? I don't know. I've had the Eevee for a while. And just during the day it evolved. Huh, weird. Mine evolved into an Umbreon. When? At night. What?
I don't think you would remember that detail if you had no guide.
Yeah.
It would have been a surprise because, you know, you may have never seen, like, you may have never seen an Espeon to that point, and then you're like, how did you get that?
Yeah, this game also introduced evolution by happiness, which I hate.
Yeah.
Then comes the third gym, which is Dex's favorite gym, apparently, Whitney, and her Miltank of Death.
See, to me, it wasn't that difficult, because quite honestly, I don't remember what Pokemon I had, but I could just paralyze her.
I got flattened, like destroyed by Whitney. I remember getting destroyed, because you mentioned it, and I had no short-term memory recollection of it, but it came from my long-term memory. So I know she flattened me, or else I wouldn't have remembered. Then comes Morty with their ghost types. Followed by Shuck with fighting type gym. By now, a lot of people would have had a lot of psychics, so sorry, Chuck.
Or, you know, your flying Pokemon, which is like, oh, that big muscular Pokemon, peck its eyes out.
Yeah, that's weird, but yes. Yeah. Then it comes Jasmine and her steel types. Surprise, they had a steel type gym. And
all I can say is to quote two of my generation's greatest philosophers, Beavis and Butthead. Fire.
Then comes Mahogany Town with the same weakness. So you can keep saying fire, ice types. And then comes, obviously, for personal reasons, one of my favorite, Claire, the dragon trainer. Introducing one of the Pokemon that I had for a very long time, Kingdra. Also, now introducing the fact that you had to put an item on a Pokemon and trade it to evolve it. Then comes the Elite Four, which happened to be the same four dudes.
Oh, I'm gonna put a stop there. So yeah, it was a new introduction because back in the first one, it's like, oh yeah, you see that amazing Machamp? Do you have a friend? No, then you ain't getting it. Yeah. See that? Yeah. Do you have a friend? No, then you ain't getting it.
Which kind of played against most nerds, but whatever.
It's like, oh, remember that Abra that it took you literally 100 tries to catch because the little bugger kept teleporting? Do you have a friend? No, you ain't getting the Alakazam.
And then after you defeat the Elite Four, you get a ride memory lane, and this is the only Pokemon game that has done this. You get to visit Kanto, another region. And at the time, basically just beat the crap out of all the gym leaders in Kanto. Find out that Misty actually did not end up with Red. And you find Red somewhere.
Unless you read the original manga. In which case, yes, it was a very different ending from the anime, where Ash just goes from region to region, breaking hearts obliviously.
So that was a great game, but then comes the next mainline game released. I'm going to skip Crystal because I'm going to skip the Money Grabs games because you can tell that's a money grab. I forgot to mention the mythical Pokemon, which still one per generation, Celebi, wasn't really that good. I have one. I mean, fine, they have balanced stats, but nothing really superlative. I'm skipping Crystal because I really don't care about the money grab games. Comes the next generation, Ruby and Sapphire. Ruby Sapphire was released in Japan 2002, in the United States 2003. It's, I think, Ruby and Sapphire. I mean, I know that Team Rocket had a storyline, but I think Ruby and Sapphire was the first game that tried to have a more compelling storyline.
It was the first. Wasn't it the first one with color?
Well,
Game Boy Advance.
It was the first in the Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
No, like true color, not like Game Boy Color.
No, it was Game Boy Advance.
Switching between eight palettes.
Yeah, it looked significantly better than the previous ones.
In this game, you had a more compelling storyline in the Hoenn region. Their teams actually were more involved than just appearing as a roadblock with a more compelling
story. They actually had a goal.
They had a goal, yes. And by the way, it's Team Magma and Team Aqua. And basically, if you played one edition or the other, one were the good guys and the other were the bad guys, and then they were basically opposites if you got the other edition.
See, like, I really understand that, you know, it was the game where this was the first start where the villains had a higher purpose, so to speak. But their plans were horrible. Their plans were just bad. Oh, we're going to make endless earth. You need water to live. We're going to make endless water. You ain't Aquaman.
Yeah. But, you know, they had this creed that they wanted to either expand the lands or expand the sea. And with this, they introduce I cannot do the math. It's probably 100 and so Pokemon. This actually had a big expansion. It went from 252 to 386. That's about 134 Pokemon. Some of them kind of run of the mill, but
yeah, some of them suck.
Yeah, but they introduced some of the Pokemon that Dex hates, because I usually have one every generation, and then Feebas and Milotic.
See, I don't hate Feebas. I just find it super annoying to find it, because it's like, oh yeah, this Pokemon, you can find it in one tile.
One tile. Yep.
Water tile. In the entire game, it is like a 5% chance of catching it, or otherwise you're just going to catch a bunch of random garbage water Pokemon. And then, oh, you want to evolve it, you say. How are you at making those little Pokemon cubes? Those little cubes. Are you good? Can you make them? Make like a million beauty ones and just feed it to them.
Yep. Oh, I forgot to mention the previous generation also introduced shinies. They had a forced shiny in the red Gyarados. Just forgot to bring that up. So in this game, same concept. You get 8 gyms. We're not gonna go over them because now we're starting to be repetitive. They introduced one. I think it was just one mythical in Jirachi, and same concept with the Elite Four, basically run-of-the-mill game, but it was really good. I hear a lot of people hate it. Ruby and Sapphire.
Also, let's not forget that these games created the meme that is, hey, I heard you like Mudkips.
I actually want to like take a second to admire the story, the whole like the two legendaries that are fighting each other, they're going to bring the end, and there's this one legendary dragon that can stop it all. Like, I thought that was actually really good from an artistic kind of literature kind of way.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done.
Well, let's be honest. Like, these two games actually brought in quite a lot of, like, Pokemon staples. Be them later in the competitive scene with, like, Blaziken. The memes with Mudkip, or, I hate to say this, the Poke Waifus, Gardevoir.
Yep.
God, I've delved into too many dark places on the internet.
So, this is one of the games where I strongly encourage playing Emerald. Even though Emerald is the money grab, released in 2004, by the way, I think Emerald tells the true story of this region, where both the teams are the bad guys and both of the Pokemon are competing against each other. I think Emerald tells the true story in this game, and I strongly recommend playing Emerald if you're going back to these games. Very, very good games. Now, sure, go ahead.
Also, this game like had the three, you know how the past, we haven't mentioned it, but the past like two games we've mentioned each had like the trio of legends.
Yes.
The birds and the dogs.
Yep.
This one had the golems. And if you wanted to get the golems, you basically had to learn Braille and had to learn how to decipher hidden messages. Because, sure, why not?
Was this game the one with the three golems?
Yeah. Well, Ruby and Sapphire.
The Regis, you mean?
The Regis, yeah.
Yeah, the Regis, yeah.
Okay.
You basically had to learn Braille.
Yep.
It was pretty good. The Regis finally broke the pattern of ice, fire, lightning for legendaries, which was a good thing to break out of, honestly. The next game, because the Game Boy Advance only released one generation, came on the Nintendo DS, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Did Fire Red and Green Leaf come after Diamond?
They did, and they actually, so Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green were actually released in 2004. Diamond Pearl were released in 2006 in Japan, 2007 in the rest of the world. So yes, Fire Red Leaf Green brought the same, like a Game Boy Advance version of Pokemon Red, Pokemon Green, with the Sevii, I don't know how to pronounce that name, islands. Just to add a bit more content and more areas to the Kanto region. In comes Diamond and Pearl, the first generation released in the DS. They apparently released 106 Pokemon. This was Dragon Heaven. Dragon Heaven. they released so many good dragons. They the starters here were Turtwig, Torterra. Sorry, that's evolution. Turtwig, Xingqiu, and Piplup. Empoleon's really good Pokemon for a starter. Again, many, many dragons. The two legendaries were Dialga and Palkia. Basically, playing names with the Diamond and Pearl. They had a ton of legendaries in this game. You can tell now that you have more memory to play with. They introduced the lake legendaries. They introduced the two dragons and Palkia and Dialga. They introduced Heatran. They introduced Regigigas, which it was a freaking pain to get. They introduced another dragon in Giratina, which kind of hated the other two dragons. Cresselia.
Darkrai.
Cresselia.
Darkrai.
And then this is the first game that had many mythicals in Fionne, Manaphy, Darkrai, Shaymin, and the god of Pokemon, Arceus.
Praise be to Arceus.
Arceus is now the root cause of many interesting Pokemon videos out there. what you guys think of now that you have four mythicals, about 50 legendaries, and I'm exaggerating, and one of the mythicals required breeding to get the other mythical?
Yeah, honestly, it starts to lose the whole mythical angle. Like, I'll be completely honest, at this point in the gaming history, it's like, are they mythical? Or are they just, like, really, really rare? Because it's like, so, you know, all the other regions, you get three, you know, you get three legendary, maybe one mythical if you're lucky. This one, nah, we're just gonna dump all of them here. Well, it makes sense if you really think about it. God himself,
is
present there, so why not?
I can say herself too, to be inclusive. Anyway,
sure, we can say they themselves.
Yes. And this. Let me see if I get the reaction that I expect. What about this storyline?
What storyline?
That was the reaction I got. I liked the fact that they tried to play with time and space, but the fact that I don't remember the story at all to this date tells you how compelling it was.
I actually skipped this game altogether. I've never played it. That says a lot, too.
Yeah, that says a lot. So after Diamond and Pearl came what a lot of people claim is the best Pokemon game ever in terms of storyline, with both Black and White and Black 2 and White 2.
Well, you see, with these games, it's like, okay, so we kind of skipped out on the story in the previous games, so let's just make one long continuous story between two games of the same generation.
Yeah, but, you know, Unova was based on New York. I think it's the first official Pokemon based outside of a Japan region. And the world was amazing. This is the only game where you have a mythical Pokemon before everybody else in the list, which ticked off many people, seeing that blank. And this Pokemon game was also somewhat of a Dragon Heaven as well. They also introduced the calamities and I still don't know. I guess the genies would be the names, you know, the Tornadus, Thundurus, Reshiram, actually Tornadus, Thundurus, and Landorus. And they also introduced the three Musketeers in Cobalion, Terrakion, and Virizion, which people play Pokemon Go, we're seeing Cobalion showing up in 5-star raids. Somewhat of a Dragon Heaven as well. They introduced Hydreigon. They introduced two legendaries in Zekrom and Reshiram, Fire Dragon, Electric Dragon. They hope they play really hard into this light and dark concept. And this game also features the first legendary Pokemon that fuses with the other legendary Pokemon, Kyurem, where it can convert into white Kyurem, black Kyurem. Very interesting concept. And three mythicals in Keldeo, which basically will be your fourth Musketeer, Meloetta, and Genesect.
See, you talk a lot about the legendaries, but you're forgetting. This is the game that introduced the garbage Pokemon. Literally, the garbage Pokemon.
What was his name? I keep forgetting.
Trubbish. Yeah, Trubbish and Garbodor. Oh, and also, let's not forget, the fetus Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that guy.
Muna Musharna.
Yeah, and of course... No. Solosis, the cell Pokemon. That literally later evolves into fetus Pokemon. And the ice cone Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, Vanillite.
Yeah, the Pokemon that was destined to be killed by Alakazam.
Okay, explain that, please.
He has many spoons.
Oh, God.
Ha-ha! These are the jokes, people. You can hear the angry mob with the pitchforks and the tomatoes now.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, this would be the perfect time for that little derailing noise. Please, if you haven't, join, subscribe, and send us money through Patreon, please. We need that special effect.
Blatant honesty. But yes, we really haven't derailed the topic, but that was interesting, an interesting concept. let's just go after Black 2, White 2, which they claim it was... I did not play those games. They claim it was a very good sequel to the game. Comes to one of the most hated games in Pokemon ever. They waited... Technically, if you don't count Black 2 and White 2, they waited 3 years for a new generation. And they waited for a 3DS in Pokemon X and Pokemon Y. It's based in France, basically. And you can tell... I will be honest. The world was amazing. The whole concept of the world. The storyline was...
It wasn't terrible. I actually liked X and Y. I played a lot of it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was pretty... The graphics were amazing. Come on.
Yeah, no, like I said...
really good 3D graphics for it. So.
No, and the world was
and
amazing.
And also, let's be honest, the Pokemon were good. Like, the new Pokemon introduced were good. The starters, like Greninja looks amazing.
Yep.
The Chestnut looks awesome. You have Talonflame, which became a competitive staple for a while.
Heliolisk.
Yeah. Also, you got Aegislash, which again, another competitive Pokemon, because it was just a pain. Ghost Steel. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, you're gonna use Fight? No, you're not. You're not. You're really not.
So I think I have resentment for this game because they came out and invented the fairy type in this game.
I think that's your major anger. Let's just be honest. You're like, haha, my dragons, only ice can... Wait, what's that pink thing? What's it doing? Why did my dragon die?
Now they're forcing me to have a steel move in my dragons.
Or, let's see. Steel and poison as well, right?
Yeah. That's why I always now keep a Goodra with me. Also introduced in this game.
Also, let's just be honest. Like, you have a Pokemon you can use. Technically, I'm blanking on the name. Phoebus's evolution.
Melodic.
Yeah, technically Melodic is pure water.
Yeah, yep. I used Melodic and I used the concept of pseudo dragon to get away with having one, and because I really need something that's not a dragon type. It's too predictable.
Was X and Y, were they introduced Mega Evolutions for the first time?
Yes, Mega Evolutions were introduced for the first time because finally we needed to Digimonize Pokemon.
Oh, wait, that's not it.
And people are going to hate me for that comment, but that's exactly what it is. This game had very few legendaries. It only had Exerneas, Yveltal, Zygarde, and three mythicals in Diancie, Hoopa, and Volcanion.
Well, and honestly, technically Hoopa and Volcanion didn't come out with the game. You had to get them through events later.
Most of the mythicals, you had to get them through events later.
Yeah, I think all three of them, really. Like, yeah, Diancie. I think Zygarde was technically the only one.
Zygarde was not mythical. Zygarde was legendary.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
And this one will introduce your favorite troll Pokemon, Trevenant.
I love that Pokemon.
That stupid tree. Haunted tree, to be that. It's like an ant, I guess.
No, okay, so let's segue from here to something that's always kind of bothered me. Has anybody actually proofread the Pokedex entries before these guys put them in there? Because some of them are messed up.
Well,
are twisted.
I think the worst one we'll talk about soon in the next iteration.
No. I'm sorry. Phantom's Pokedex entry is it's messed up. Basically, a kid died in the forest.
Well, let's go read it. Let's find Phantom here. Let's read it. It says, in X, these Pokemon are created when spirits possess rotten tree stumps. They prefer to live in abandoned forests. And then comes the Y one, which says, according to old tales, these Pokemon are stumps possessed by the spirits of children who died while lost in the forest.
Like, legit, who in the Nintendo of America side of the company read that and was like, yeah, that's good. Yeah, they never read the Pokemon entries anyways.
Do you have the Pokedex entry for what was his name? Sandygast? That was messed up.
How about Drifloom? That literally is a balloon, looks so cute and cuddly so it can take away children.
Yeah, the Pokedex entries are kinda messed up. I had to give you that. It's messed up.
Well, yeah, I would say a good 80% are just for the ghost types.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hey, they're ghost types. Let's make it messed up.
They had to have a messed up past because they're spirits. They basically are dead. So after the... Again, I think artistically the game was amazing, X and Y. After the X and Y comes the what many think it was incomplete game and then completed by the Ultra versions, Pokemon Sun and Moon. This game introduced and took a lot of brave steps that many people could have hated and ended up being good. First of all, no more HMs. You now have ride Pokemon, so you can actually keep your moves on your Pokemon.
Yep, I love that.
They did away with the gym system and went with the trials. And the Grand Trials. Again, very bold move. People thought they were going to hate it. It was actually well met. The only problem with Pokemon Sun and Moon was that a lot of people felt that it was incomplete. Especially when you play Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, the storyline gets to a point where it varies pretty much. And it ends up being in a completely different ending for the game. Which I feel this basically was the Emerald to the Ruby Sapphire.
Also, like, let's be honest, this was the only game where I actually liked the quote-unquote enemy team. Team Skull is just fun.
They are fun. They really aren't too bad. They're just a nuisance. The real bad people ended up being the people you were next to. The people that actually quote-unquote cared for Pokemon ended up being the evil people.
Oh, come on, dude. I smelled that a mile away. Like, as soon as you see the scientist guy, you're like, yep, clearly evil. Clearly evil. Like, at least the Skull guys, you're like, okay, you guys gonna hang out in front of a grocery store and smoke cigarettes? Get the heck out of there. That guy, though, that guy is pure evil, and that lady is too damn nice. I think she's blowing smoke up my butt.
And this game introduced something that a lot of people hated. Legendaries and mythicals that evolved. So now if you want a full Pokédex entry in a future game, you had to have each step of the evolution. So that is a pain. Fortunately, I am set for that. I actually do have a Cosmo M, a Solgaleo, and a Lunala.
Well, also this game, like the Ultra Beasts were really a good mechanic. It's like, here is a bunch of big, strong Pokemon that aren't technically Pokemon, but they're still gonna beat the crap out of you.
And they're not legendary either. So there's a whole new category of Pokemon now.
They're from another dimension!
Yeah. And this game was the first generation that had a crossover with Pokemon Go.
Yep.
Where two Pokemon were introduced in Pokemon Go for the first time that were regarded as canon and were not in the mainline games in Meltan and Melmetal. Messed up, in my opinion, but whatever.
Also, this game continues the trend of messed up Pokemon entries, Pokedex entries, but with the most unlikely Pokemon, the Pokemon that everybody loved. As soon as they saw it, they loved it. Mimikyu.
Yep.
But if you read the Pokedex entry, you're like, oh, so it's basically a Lovecraftian horror underneath that. Yep. That'll kill you if you see it.
And if you watch the Japanese version of the anime, Meowth literally dies.
And it's the most amazing thing. Like, he knows that the Pokemon is outside of his, like, disguise. So he knows he is going to die if he sees it. And he does. See it underwater, and he dies immediately. It was just, like,
Meowth,
messed up.
Yeah, it was one of the most messed up scenes I've seen in a Pokemon game. Even
also,
more messed up than James with boobs.
Also, let's be honest, this game gave us the series where you saw the most overpowered, strong, nay, invincible Pokemon ever. Beware. Specifically the one following Jesse and James, just so that she can...
Beware! Beware!
Yeah, beware. Oh, is that an Ultra Beast? And you hurt my babies? Pimp Slap!
And, you know, a bit of a segue, but a lot of people initially hated the anime because of the animation change, but it turned out to be the best series ever so far in Pokemon.
I really think that they just gave the animators and writers a bunch of coke and were like, here, just go nuts. Just go nuts. We don't care. Just go nuts.
Their facial expressions, the double takes, the writing, it's amazing. It's like, who knew that this poorly drawn Ash would be better than the other one?
Also, they took Ash's Casanova qualities to a next step, and he actually got a harem in this anime. And the harem included men, too, because why not?
That's all in your head, man.
Oh, yeah, the fire guy totally did not have a bro crush on Ash.
No, that's in your head, man.
Sure.
Ash, to quote Kiawe, Ash never ceases to amaze me.
And you know they did something right, because when Ash won in the end, it actually made headlines in like major news outlets. It was pretty significant. Like, I got it in like through many of my like social media feeds. So it was
Awesome. Yeah, because it's been 22 years.
Yep.
And this kid has never won. Every time he's been close to victory, where you literally say he is a shoo-in, they pull a Deus Ex Machina and just cheat him out of it.
Literally cheat him out of it.
Yeah,
literally,
like,
cheat him out of it.
Oh, he's going to win this one? Yeah, this random trainer that you have never seen before in the series has a Darkrai and a Latios and a Latias.
Or a Registeel. Or Regirock, was it? Yeah.
It's like, good luck. Oh, he's gonna win? He has a type advantage? Nah. Greninja lost. Nah.
But Pokemon Sun, especially the Ultra ones, introduced Necrozma, reintroduced the concept of Pokemon fusing with others. I dare you, and I recommend, actually encourage you to go to the internet and find some of the reactions of people running into the Super Necrozma, Ultra Necrozma, sorry, and seeing the Pokemon wipe their butts with the other Pokemons. It's fun.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so screw you and everybody who looks like you.
Yep.
And then from that game, we go into the controversy-ridden, meme-worthy, anger-inducing new games.
And this will be the main event of this third episode, Pokemon Sword and Shield. Game, for the first time in a home console in the Nintendo Switch, came out to this date of recording. It came out, 4 days ago? And people have already beaten it, by the way.
Well, yeah, let's just cut to the chase. Look, it's riddled with controversies. It's riddled with controversies. Everything from them, like they were saying, like, no, this is one of the biggest games we're ever doing. We had to redo so many models from scratch, and then the data miners went, oh, really? Let's see. Nope, you're lying. Oh, you did cut out over half of the Pokédex, because why?
The real reason, because they split the team in half to make another game.
Yeah, the other game that they made wasn't even that good. I think it stands at a 3.6 rating right now on Metacritic.
Haven't checked. That's how important it is to me.
Exactly, yeah. Like I understand. Like, a lot of it was hating on the game. That's what I've noticed from the people who I know that have played it. And they tell me, yeah, it's not as buggy, but it does have some things that are just, you know, are just annoying. A lot of the hate online is just that. It's just, you know, the crowd getting their pitchforks and their torches. But
and it's just a few that rile up everybody else. It's like everybody has to be average about something nowadays.
But I'll be honest, like, I it really put me off to buying the game. Like, don't get me wrong, it looks amazing, graphics look great, but my regular end of game team is usually an all ghost team, and a lot are gone.
Okay, so a couple of comments. Like, the idea that everybody's so outraged that modders are going out and actually improving the graphics and retexturing trees and trying to bring in some of the genocided Pokemon. Like, okay, I get it. Like, you're so motivated by your rage that you will have to spend time improving because you have something to prove. But at the same time, like, my friends and I have been talking about being able to be in a zone where we can see each other and see the Pokemon for at least 15 years, and that actually happened in this game. That is amazing.
See, that's the thing. Like, the positive parts of the game have been outshined by the anger over the negative ones, and that is wrong. Like, that is wrong. Like, the graphics look amazing. Yeah, sometimes the textures don't look good, but that's pretty much true for a lot of games, unless you go full PC Master Race. Like, the ability to play with friends on the same map is, like, seeing your friends on the same map or doing the raids. It's a very good concept. But at the same time, if you can have a game like Dragon Quest XI on the Switch with over 700 monsters, each of them with, you know, interesting animations for attacks and for magic, and you can have a world that looks amazing, full 3D, you could do that too for Pokemon. And I think that's where a good chunk of the anger came from. It's like, if you have this, why couldn't you do it like this?
Because they only had 2 years, man. And between those 2 years, they had to do Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
And again, maybe that's their mistake. I get the whole concept of, hey, we need to get a game out there. We need to, you know, keep the series in everybody's mind. We need to make some money. But if you could have held out your game for one more year, and told everybody, okay, guys, you know, we heard you guys. So what we're going to do, we're going to hold back the game. We're going to go back into it. We're going to have all, or at least the vast majority of the Pokemon. We'll keep some Pokemon out just for story reasons or whatever. But the core majority of them will be there. And, we're just going to hold it back. Can you guys wait a year? I assure you, maybe 90% of them would go like, yeah, hell yeah, go for it, man. You're going to give us a bigger, better game. Yeah, we'll wait.
Still, I play the game so far right now, and I still tell everyone, just play the game. It's good. It's not the best. It's good.
And that's what I would expect. Like, I still don't have it. Like, I need some time. Like, grown-up stuff kind of sucks. But I fully expect to get it soon, and I am really excited about it. So I haven't let all the trolls kind of get to me. I'm really excited, like I would have been for any of the other games. And the idea of being able to play with friends in an area where you see each other and actually battle something together, that sounds amazing. I am not super excited about the giant thing, like making your Pokemon giant, I think was really lame idea, design-wise. But I'll give it a shot. Like, I'm really excited to get to play it.
Insert Attack on Titan meme here.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I did not know that you could see other players until about 4 hours ago when I noticed that you can connect to the internet directly instead of local communication. I went back to the wild area and I saw everybody. I was like, holy crap, this is an MMO.
And that right there, that is a thing. Like, we have been talking about this for years. Like, the idea that it is a multiplayer Pokemon game, and that's just worth a little bit of hardship and like some bugs and whatnot, at least for me.
So let's end this episode with the following questions and your reactions. Based on all the backlash that we got, how probable do you see a Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield 2?
I honestly, at this point, I wouldn't put it past Nintendo or Game Freak to go with the DLC route. Being a new console, I actually foresee more of a DLC kind of thing.
Yep, I totally see that. Like, they could actually give, like, packages of, like, yeah, here are 100 new Pokemon, give me 30 or 40 more bucks.
No, you don't even have to go like that. So, for example, I'll be completely honest. In the next Nintendo Direct, or like a Nintendo Direct, like maybe 6 months from now, if they show a DLC where you go to Kanto with the same graphics, with the same style, people will literally just start throwing money at their computer screens, hoping that the game will get there faster.
That is high hopes, man. I was just hoping that they would just release like first generation, like everything that was killed from the first generation in one package, everything was killed in this from the second generation, another package, something like that. Each of those for $15 or something like that. That's what I was expecting. Yeah. But if they actually have content where you go to the other regions, that would be ridiculous. Like, I would pay money, like good money for that.
Take my money.
Yep. Exactly. Shut up and take my money.
Yep.
Legitimately, at this point, if they just did on DLC, they're gonna get a ton of backlash. They're just gonna get backlash. Like, the people who are still angry will be angry 6 months from now, and they're just gonna be like, oh, so you're turning this into another like FIFA or another like microtransaction ridden game. But if you tell them, oh, by the way, for $25, your character from Sword and Shield goes to Kanto, and you get the 151 Pokemon from Kanto, or however many were missing from the original Pokedex, and you get to go to those gyms, and they will level up, commensurate to your level. People will throw money at it. They'll just be like, here, just take my wallet, just take my credit card, and tell me when you have taken all the money for all the expansions, and we'll just be good. We'll be good.
I had not thought about that. That would be amazing. That's like, I think it's wishful thinking. I don't think there's like a chance that that's going to happen, but that would be like ridiculously amazing.
Yep, take my money.
Yeah, no, just throw money at the screen and just wait for the game to come out. If they did that, if they announced that, oh Lord, the amount of money they'd make. Because then they could just be, oh, in 6 more months, here is Johto. And then here's Unova. And then it's just printing money.
Yep. That would be ridiculous.
Well, this marks the end of episode 3. You can, again, I've always said this, you can follow us on Twitter, at Geeks and Gripes. Everywhere else, you will find us in Geeks and Gripes, geeksandgripes.com. And subscribe to our YouTube, because this is going to be our medium for now. You were going to say something, Dex?
Yeah. Give us money. Give us some of that money you're going to throw out there. No, but honestly, it's hopefully this is the start of something good. And we'll see. We're still playing around with the format, still playing around, seeing, you know, what works topic-wise, what works style-wise. So bear with us and strap in for the ride.
Yep. So we will be back with a new episode. We still haven't thought about what topic's going to be, but hopefully it's going to be really good. Thank you for listening to us all this time, if you've made it up to this time, and we hope to have you as a listener on our next episodes and going forward. And please become our Patreons at patreon.com, Geeks and Gripes. We will promise at some point that we'll figure out how to do exclusive contents for our Patreons.
Yep.
So to this point.
Yeah, and that's all, folks.
Abadee, 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 that's all, folks.
Oh, the copyright.
It's getting to a point where it's going to be public domain soon.
Anyway, thank you, everyone, and hope we'll see you on episode 4.
Laters, people. Go catch them all.